With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. All right, amen. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now turn to Romans chapter 3, would you please? Verse 21, tell me when you're there. You there? Say amen. Amen. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given, everybody say given, through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between the Jew or the Gentile, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. I want to go back to verse 22. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Everybody say believe. So do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that He has raised, He's been risen from the dead? Have you received Him as your Lord? Well, then what's been given to you then? What's been given to you? Is that yours or does it belong to God? It's yours. It was God's. It is who God is. But that righteousness has been given to you. Say amen. Praise the Lord. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians. I hope you're writing these down. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I've got to lay a foundation before I just minister out of my heart. Verse 21. Praise the Lord. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, are you in Christ? Have you received Him as your Lord? So He's in you and you're in Him. Turn to John chapter 17. Praise the Lord. Here's what's going around in my heart for you. Sometimes I just want somebody to cut the mustard and just tell me like it is. You know, if whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whatever it is, you just tell me what it is. Now, what you report to me has nothing to do with how my faith is going to react. But sometimes I just want to know what I'm up against. Amen? So listen, all of those out here who believe along with me for divine healing, you may need to go to the doctor and get an x-ray and find out what he says. And that's all right. So you know what you're up against. You know, it's smart to know what you're up against. Whether it's a tumor, come on. Whether it's a glaucoma, whether it's high blood pressure. If that's what's causing the thing in your body or the symptoms are in your body, then it's good to be able to identify it. Because if you can identify it, then it's a name. And Jesus' name has been put above all names. It's all right. But you shouldn't let it shake your confidence in the Lord. So just tell me like it is. That's the way I like to deal with God. And I think God likes to deal with me that way. Just tell me like it is. Don't sugarcoat it. I'm not a little kid that I need it to taste good going down. Hello. And so this morning, I'm just going to tell you like it is. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And I think we're going to do this for just a little bit regarding righteousness, because you've got to get it. If you're going to do the works that Jesus did, you've got to get it. If you want to change this city, if you want to change your neighborhood, if you want to change the habits in your life, you've got to get this. Quit trying to get it. Accept it. Let it become something that you produce a yield in your life. That you're not just getting out of the way, but you're letting God work through you. In John chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus said, "Prayer is not for them alone. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that they all may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also," listen, Jesus is praying now, "be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one." So did Jesus give something? What did he give them? He gave them the glory that we would be like God and Jesus was, because the two were one. God come in the flesh. Now do you have the Holy Ghost inside of you, yes or no? So God has come inside your flesh. And Jesus gave us that glory, that right, to become one with the Father. Now we become one with the Father, not through natural birth, but through spiritual birth. Now, how many of you have been born again? Can I see your hands, please? You've been born again by the Spirit of God. All right. Do you have to go back into the womb of the Holy Ghost? Huh? Do you have to come out the birth canal again of the Holy Ghost? So what you are is what you are. Now, you may be a baby in Christ, but it has nothing to do with who you are. You've been born into the family of God. Jesus gave us the right to be one with the Father, just like he was one with the Father. And if you need to build your faith on that, then just read this, John chapter 17, verse 20 through 23, over and over and over again, and say, that's me he's praying about. If you've been born again, then God lives in you. What was Jesus' name? What does Emmanuel mean? Somebody. God with us. God come in the flesh. God with us. God come in the flesh. God incarnate. Incarnate meaning carne, meat. Like where we get carnival from. Not carnival. Carnivore. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, a carnival could be kind of fleshy, couldn't it? Yeah, praise the Lord. That's where we get the word, meaning meat, substance, flesh. God come in the flesh. Now, God, Jesus is on the throne, and he's received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in the book of Acts that he poured it out. And on the day of Pentecost, men were filled with the Holy Ghost, those who believed by faith in Jesus. Now, that is the new birth process. That you are born of the Holy Spirit. That now the Spirit isn't just something you listen to from out here, but the Spirit leads and guides you from in here, in your inner man. How many of you have ever had God talk to you from your inner man? Can I see your hand, please? Oh, come on, Dave. I know you're arguing with him all the time. You told me that. So God's talking to you from your inner man. That is the evidence that you are born of God. You have been born again. That your nature on the inside is that of God's. God has made a place to live within you. Now, you don't have all of God. You've got a measure of God. Now I'm going to praise the Lord. Can I just talk to you? Because that's what I want to do. I just want to tell you like it is. If I've got a 1-inch pipe coming from the water system out here in front of the church, or I got a 4-inch pipe, what does it make the water any different? No, it's still water. But I get more volume if it's a 4-inch pipe. And up here on top of this hill, it's the highest point of land in Des Moines, so we need some extra volume. So that when I'm upstairs and I turn on my sink, that I have some kind of pressure coming out. Praise the Lord. I don't want to take a shower and then just have a trickle, man. I just want it all over me, don't you? I hate those showers where you got soap on and it just trickles. Because it takes forever. You're never sure you got all the soap out. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Get that picture out of your mind. Supposed to be thinking about you in the shower. Praise the Lord. So the water that's in a 2-inch pipe coming in and the water that's in a 1-inch pipe coming in, it's all water, right? Well, do I have all the water in Iowa just because I have a 4-inch pipe coming into the church? Heavens no. But I have access to all of the water that's being produced down at the water plant, don't I? Guys, the Holy Ghost inside of you, if Jesus said that the Holy Ghost was coming and out of you would flow what? Rivers of living waters. The problem with most of us is I don't have to candy coat it this morning. The problem with most of the church is we don't have a river flowing, we got a trickle. And I mean, a trickle of God is good. A trickle of God is good. I mean, one drop of God will do a lot. One breath of God created humanity into the nostrils of Adam, and we're still procreating today. That little reservoir that Adam had a river flowing through him. But when he sinned, he became a reservoir. He was filled, and then it began to dry up. Because in dying, he surely died. 930 years after he died spiritually, that source was disconnected from him. He still had some source in him, but he used it in 930 years. Come on. So when you were born again, you were born. Jesus is what? The way, the truth, and the life. Jesus was made, Acts chapter 4, both Lord and Christ. Say Lord and Christ. Lord means King of Kings, the sovereign Lord. He is the one that we submit to. You can't be a Lord if nobody is allowing you to govern them. Come on. So lordship has to do with how much you let him govern you. And if you want Jesus to be your Savior, he needs to be your Lord. Come on. If you want him to be your healer, then he needs to be your Lord. In other words, if you're having problems with high blood pressure and cholesterol, well, you can believe God for healing, but you need to have him be the Lord over your bacon input. And how many times you go to the Y a week? Because not everything is spiritual. Are you getting what I'm saying? So he was made both Lord and Christ, the King, the Governor, the one who we submit to, right? But he's also become Christ, was made Lord and Christ after his resurrection. And when he was made Christ, he was made the Anointed One and the one who anoints. Acts 10:38 talks about Jesus prior to the cross. And it says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and power, and how he, Jesus, went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Now, Jesus was the Messiah, but he was made both Lord and Christ. And when that transpired in the heavenly realms, when he took the throne of God, is where he's sitting right now, he was given the right as Christ, the Messiah, to pour out the anointing into you and into me. Now, does Jesus pour out just enough anointing for you to live on? Just enough anointing for your body to be able to recover from the daily things that you put into it? Well, what's the nature of Jesus? A little boy gives him a lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What does the little boy do? He gives it to the disciples. The disciples have Jesus bless it because he's their Lord. And then they break it and they multiply it. But how did it come back? How did it come back to the little boy? How did it come back to the disciples? Not in one single loaf, not in, you know, a fish split up 5 different ways or 10 different ways, but it came up 12 basketfuls. Come on. So Jesus, when he receives something and he gives back, he doesn't give back just enough to get by. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall have no wants. And it's God's desire for you to live generously and abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 10. John 10, 10, turn there. John 10, 10. We're talking about the nature of Jesus right now because we're not going to candy coat it. We don't have a bunch of babies in here anymore. And if you are a baby, then you're going to have to choke a little bit and chew this thing up with your gum it if you have to. I don't care. Get it down inside of your spirit, but just let it into your spirit. You don't have to understand everything as it's being spoken by the anointing. As a matter of fact, if you try to understand everything, you're going to stop the flow of the seed that will produce the revelation in your life that will change you, that will transform everything that you know. You don't have to understand it right now. God is still giving me understanding of things that were ministered to me underneath the anointing 15, 20 years ago. But if I stopped and I tried to understand every single bit of it now, I would be a mess. Because I would stop the seed and I'd hold it up here in my intellect when it needs to get down into my spirit to produce revelation that I can renew my mind with. Amen. Say, don't pull any punches. Oh, say it like you mean it. Say, give it to me like it is. All right, here's like it is. You got the flow of the Holy Ghost going through you, and Jesus wants to give you more than what you have need of, but your faith is restricting it to where you just got this little quarter-inch pipe, and God wants it to be a river flowing through you. What causes the restriction of that corridor or of that pipe? The pipeline from Jesus. Have you guys heard about the pipeline that's coming from Alaska all the way through the United States so that oil can come up, natural gas can come up? Praise the Lord, we can do some amazing things, but God did something better. He created a pipeline from you all the way into eternity. All the way into the highest place in heaven. Connected to Jesus. And Jesus is connected to God. If it's flowing from the innermost part of the Father, is the life and the nature of God. Zoe. Z-O-E. And that is what is inside of you. That's what you've been born of. The problem is you got born again, then you cut off the flow because of disbelief, unbelief. And you were offended and you rejected the truth. Who were you offended by? Guys, it wasn't the preacher. It wasn't the priest. It was your own action and your own face. Everybody smile. Say, tell it to me like it is. When you look in the mirror, you cannot see God flowing through you like you can see God flowing through Jesus. That's the problem. That's what we've been dancing around this last 12 weeks. Trying to get to the point that we can just talk about it. You're your own worst problem. Now come on. Everybody's in the same boat. When I look in the mirror, I got to renew my mind that God lives inside of me and that I'm not limited to just my natural ability or my intellect, but God is working on my behalf and He's working through me, and He doesn't just give me enough for me. He gives me enough to transform your life, to transform this neighborhood, transform this city, transform this nation, and to shake the world. And so that's the issue. That's why we're plugging in here in righteousness. Now, I want to talk about John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said, a thief comes to what? To kill, to steal, and destroy. But He said, I come so that you might have life. Z-O-E, the very life and nature of God. Zoe, that you might have life and have it what? More abundantly. Does abundance speak of just enough to get by? Heavens, no. Something has snuck into your life that is deception at one of its worst levels. That God wants to give you something, but you don't think you deserve it nor need it. And if you do without it, you're more pleasing to God. That's foolishness. God gives abundantly. How can you be generous if you don't have anything to give? If you only got a quarter inch pipe of the Holy Ghost flowing through your life, that's just enough to keep your body sustained. Romans chapter 8 says that the Spirit of God lives in us, and if the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, He will also give life to your mortal body. Z-O-E, to your mortal body. But if you only got enough to recharge your battery every single day and to transform your mind just for 1 hour at a time, how are you ever going to have enough to flow through the nations? Or at least to the people that you have influence in their lives, you won't until you understand that God gives to you abundantly because He has qualified you, and as the King James said, He has made you meet for the Father's work. You. Yeah, but I know the things that I know the things that I do, and I know the things that I think. You know, it holy man never blows his nose. Being natural. A holy man would never go to the refrigerator and stuff half a ham in his face. Come on. A holy man wouldn't get angry when he's a little too tired and a little too hungry. Who are you judging? Are you judging somebody else? Are you judging Jesus? No, you're judging yourself. God says, I like you just the way you are. Now, you're going to change as you see. You'll never change beyond the image that you see of yourself. You'll never rise above a level that you see yourself performing at. And this isn't talking about mental ascent, because mental ascent are just having a picture in your mind that you're coming up with through some kind of creative source. If that's all you got, man, you got to do that by discipline. But the truth that comes in the Holy Ghost is the revelation that God has chosen you. Say, God chose me. And then He made you a qualified candidate. Say, qualified candidate. And then He promoted you. And He transformed you. And He gave you the same, listen, everybody say same, anointing and power that raised Jesus from the dead. So you can't argue with me and tell me that you don't have the Holy Ghost. Nappy, you do have the Holy Ghost. He lives in you. He's talking to you all the time. And you're getting better and better at listening to Him, aren't you? Come on. You're getting better and better at listening to Him. You're starting to think out of your spirit like Christians are supposed to. And as you do that, what happens? He'll lead you and guide you from one glory to another glory, because God doesn't take you backwards. It may seem like it for a minute, but He's going to take you forward every single time. God doesn't have a hit and miss program. It's win, 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 win. Come on. God gives you not just enough to get by. He gives you more than what you have need of. That's called abundance. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Listen, He prepares a table for me in the presence of what? My enemies. Everybody say a table. Man, this is a banquet table. And your cup doesn't just give you enough to quench your thirst. Your cup doesn't just give you enough to satisfy you. Your cup does what? It runs over. That's not to you and me. That's not called generous or abundance. That's called waste. But I don't know why Jesus likes it. Why was there 12 baskets left over? I don't know. Well, that was wasteful. Well, hold on. Maybe you're thinking like the devil instead of like God. What difference does it make if it runs over? Because He created this stuff. He can make it out of nothing. He can make it out of water. He can make it whatever He wants. He's God, for goodness sake. So it's not a waste to Him. He just likes to see your look when you go, wow, that's more than what I need. Wow, that's more than that. Stop, flow. No, that's more than what. No, I like it that way. You got to get it through your head. I want you to have more. So you can be generous. But for some reason, we think if we don't have enough, then we're more holy. No, you're not. Because God is not that way. Well, yeah, but material things like silver and gold. Well, hold on now. Gold doesn't have the same value to God as it does to you. You put it on your ring finger. You put it in your ear. Some of you put it in your nose and your lips and stuff. Belly buttons, weird stuff like that. Some of you guys do that. You know what God does? He paves streets with it. Now, He's preparing something in the presence of your enemies. Let me ask you a question so you can get it out of your fat head. I'm really trying to just tell you like it is. If He prepares a table in the presence of your enemies, is that in heaven? Are your enemies going to be in heaven? So where are your enemies? They're right here. So where are you supposed to be sitting down into abundance? Something that He prepared for you. Right here. You walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You don't camp there. You walk through there and you sit down in the midst of your enemies in the shadow of death. And God becomes a butler to you. That's what He likes. I don't get it, but He likes it. And when he pours your cup, it flows over.
Well, I don't want to be part of that overflowing stuff because I think I'm better if I don't have it.
Well, you're a fool. Because you can't be like God on the earth just getting by.
How many of you ever asked God for something and then you wondered if he had it?
God, you really? Like, God, I need $40 to pay my cell bill. And you're going, but I'm not really sure if you had it. Can I see your bank account? You've done, you know? And God has it?
He said the cattle on 1,000 hills are his. The silver, he said in the book of Malachi, he said the silver and the gold, they're mine. He said, if I were hungry, I'm not going to ask you for something to eat. If I were thirsty, I'm not going to ask you for something to drink. Everything in the earth belongs to him. He chooses to share it with you as his children. That's what being born again is.
Praise the Lord. So we're at John chapter 10. So he gives abundantly. Now here's what we're talking about. Not wealth. Although that's certainly true.
Listen, how can you give some... Have you ever seen somebody with a pair of shoes that had holes in them and you wanted to give them a pair of shoes, but your shoes had holes in them?
So how can you give them a pair of shoes when your shoes has holes in them just like theirs? You can't. So what are you going to do? I'll tell you what the church is going to do. Not this one, but all the other ones. They're going to get together and they're going to pray and cry and say, thank you, God, for causing us to suffer. Look at our shoes. We have holes in them. We're suffering for you, Jesus. Come on. He wants you to have enough shoes that you have enough pairs of shoes that you can give them away without missing the one that you got. Sacrificial giving is not mentioned much in the Word of God. We give out of abundance.
You think Jesus just got a little bit of the Holy Ghost when he sat down on the throne of the Father?
Did he just get a little bit? Enough just for the pastor? Enough just for the prophets? Enough just for the apostles? Enough just for the teachers? No, he got it all, man. He is directly connected to the source. His supply isn't going to dry up. You can't use enough of the Holy Ghost to cause Jesus to say, you better slow down there, Pastor, because I got to sit down, man. It took a lot out of me. He's not going to do that. He came to give you life. That life is the nature of God, Zoe, Zoe, and give it to you in abundance and more abundance than you can possibly imagine. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for them. But he reveals it to us by his Spirit. Go to the book of Ephesians, please. Can I just talk to you again? Like it is. And listen, you all are part of this body. And the way that you believe affects the entire body. And let's say we are the body of a lion. Because I like a lion. I'd rather be a lion than a chihuahua. So we're a church of lions. And so I'm out there at the head and I'm growling and I'm snarling and I'm giving them the lion look. Well, listen, if your believer is all the way on the tail, you're affecting the body because I can't go farther than the tail goes. And if I can't pull you, if I don't have the strength to pull you, you set your feet down. I'm going to believe this. Well, bless God, you're hurting the body. So get in line, not for your sake, but for everybody else's. Let prosperity and abundance come into your life so we can be a blessing. Amen. Verse 15, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you, come on now, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You know what this spirit of wisdom and revelation is? It's part of that water flowing through your pipe. There's only one Holy Spirit now. It's not a different spirit. Literally, when you go into the Greek, this is a breath of the nature of God. Okay? So that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know, experientially now,
the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Where is it? It's in his holy people. And the incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated at his right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is invoked not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. What power? That power is inside of you. That's what Jesus was praying, that he would give you, he gave you the glory, that you may be one just like he was one with the Father. Turn back to Acts chapter 10. We're going to look at it. Acts chapter 10. What does the Apostle Paul pray in Ephesians chapter 1? That you might know the authority and the power that is available in you. Are you guys okay this morning? See, you can't access this if you think you're no good. If you think you have to earn your way back into the grace of God, you can't earn your way back. There's only one price that needed to be paid. And your belief that that was enough is your understanding of righteousness. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed. What was he anointed with? Zoe, the very life and nature of God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Now God is not just with you, he's in you. And what power and what anointing do you have? The same power and the anointing that God used to raise him from the dead. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Oh, no, no, I got a generic Iowa version of the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost of the near north side. I got the Holy Ghost of the Italian. I got the Holy Ghost of the Polish. I got the Holy Ghost of the Oompa Loompa. You got to quit saying that. Romans chapter 8, that Holy Ghost in you quickening. Verse 10. But if Christ is in you, that even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. You guys hear that? But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Where's the Spirit? In you. In you. In you. Why does he give you life? Why does he share that life with your body? Because of what? Righteousness. If you don't see yourself as righteous, you're going to put restriction on the flow of the Holy Ghost through you. All right. And if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. So the life is going to come to you by his Spirit because of righteousness. But if you don't have any faith in the righteousness that's been given to you, if you think that if your faith is based on your righteousness is only as good as you feel about it, my goodness, praise and worship this morning, I didn't feel righteous in the beginning. Now, by the end of praise and worship, I felt righteous. But if I have that, if that kind of belief inside of me based on feelings is how I'm going to receive the flow of the Spirit of God in me, then the flow of the Spirit of God is going to go up and it's going to go down. There's going to be surges and then there's going to be trickles. And God didn't make you to be a trickler of the Holy Ghost. He made you to be a river of the Holy Ghost. For it to flow out of you so that the power that flowed out of Jesus, come on, when he walked on this earth, would be evident to you. So people would look at you and they would know that God has accepted you. But if you don't know God has accepted you, then that river won't flow. You get a little knocking at the door. It's barely audible. And that'll be Jesus saying, here I am. I'm standing at the door. I want to come in. Let me in. He wants you to come into a place in the presence of your enemies where there is obviously a difference between you and everybody else in the rest of the world.
That there is something different. That you, there's a light upon you. Arise, shine, it says in Isaiah 60. For the arise, shine. For the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And then what's the result of that? Nations will come and bring their wealth to you. Just and nations just means ethnos, people. For some reason, we think we got to get the wealth to come to us before we can actually accept the righteousness. No, or we got to get the healing before we can accept the righteousness. Or we have to have an angel stand before us and tell us that we're righteous. Listen, you are righteous. For in the gospel, a righteousness apart from the law has been revealed. It says in the Word of God that we are to educate the angels. We are to educate the heavenlies regarding this mystery about Christ being in us. That's the mystery of the gospel. Angels don't understand it. They look at you and they go, don't they know what they got? Why is God? Why did God decide to live in them? Why does God pay attention to their prayers? Why does here we are, we're angels. We're more powerful than they are. Yet God chose them. He calls you brothers. Jesus is not ashamed to call you brothers in the face of God. Whether you're male or female, you're children of the Most High. Now, why wouldn't you want to think that you're holy? Why wouldn't you want to think that you're sanctified? Why wouldn't you want to tell? Why wouldn't you want to tell anybody you're righteous? Come on now. Think of your family members. Think of, you know what? When I stood up here at Christmas time and I said, I have the righteousness of God and God's not holding anything against me. And He's not. He has no record. He has no wrath for me. You know, it was my mother-in-law who said, well, God's going to judge you. Yes, He already has. He took all of His wrath out on Jesus. Why don't you want to tell somebody that you're righteous? Because you think they're going to judge you. I don't care how people judge me. I do care how they receive the message, but I don't care how they judge me because God's already judged me and He's imputed. He has given to me. He has caused me to be born into this gift of righteousness. And when I understand that, I'm not afraid to go into His presence. When I understand that, I can go boldly, you know, I can just charge right in. Oh, excuse me, God, I didn't know that you were doing that, but listen. You're okay. You're more than okay. You're in Him and He is in you if Jesus is your Lord. Now, you can better receive your righteousness as you let Him govern you. You understand? You can't walk out of here. I'm subject to the laws of the city of Des Moines. I am subject to the laws. I am subject to the federal laws that are in this land. Because I choose to live here. I am subject to them. But I am not governed by them. Why? Because I don't live at that low medieval, worldly level of do's and don'ts. I live so far above it, I don't even consider that. I don't even consider those laws something as, because I'm living above that. I'm not going to hurt somebody. I'm not going to steal from somebody. I'm going to love them. Love. When I'm walking in love, I don't have to worry about those laws for elementary level thinkers. Come on. I'm subject to them because I choose to live here. But I'm not governed by them. I'm governed by the Bible and I'm governed by the Holy Ghost. And when I allow myself to be governed that way, then those laws are, you know, I don't have to learn how to do 1 + 1 = 2. I know that. That's elementary stuff. I'm beyond that. You know, give me some algebra or trigonometry or calculus. Give me some of that maybe and I'll
I'm not at that level anymore, and you aren't either. If you're just trying to figure out how to break the law, grow up! How to get by the law, grow up! You're above it. Now, your body is subject to sin and death because you're in this world, but you don't have to be governed by it. Because you're choosing every day to draw your breath. You're choosing every day. And sometimes you just gotta squeeze every drop of life out of right now. Guys, you gotta, if you're gonna do this thing for Jesus, it's an abundant life, you gotta squeeze a living hey-hoo out of it. You just gotta squeeze every drop of now out of today, out of right now. I'm gonna live. If I'm gonna jump, I'm gonna jump high. If I'm gonna run, I'm gonna run as fast as I can. Come on. I'm not subject to those kind of laws that I have to worry about a reserve. Praise the Lord. You're not subject to death. No, you are subject to death. But you don't have to be governed by it. Because Jesus took the sting out of death for you. He took the fear out of death for you. And that will be put underneath our feet one day. Praise the Lord. You're subject to the laws in Iowa, but you shouldn't be governed by them. Because if you're governed by the laws, guys, listen very carefully to me. If you're born again and you're governed by the laws of the land, that tells me you're not living at the level of the Spirit. And until the church starts living, being governed by the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, and not being subject to the laws of man, which are made to punish those who do evil. Are you a person who does evil? Do you do evil? Do you do evil? No, not intentionally, do you? And so those laws aren't made for you. The laws of the land are made to govern people who don't have a head. The laws of the land are, come on, I mean a thinker. The laws of the land are made to govern people who can't control their flesh. The laws of the land are made for people who can't control their intellect or their greed. So that we can have some form of working together, some form of expectation of one another in society. Well, I don't operate at that law because I'd rather give than take. I would rather give than take. I would rather give than take because it's better to give than it is to receive. You don't have to be governed by the law of do's and don'ts. Don't touch this. Don't drink that. Don't go there. Because if you do, you'll be defiled and made dirty. You'll lose your sanctification. Don't wear a skirt above your knees. Don't wear your hair long. Don't put on makeup. Guys, don't put on makeup. Don't put on makeup anymore. Don't. Well, God gave me this chapstick and He wants me to be liberal with it. Not that kind of liberality. Now listen, you're not subject to the laws of the Old Covenant. If you have to go into the Old Covenant to find out if you're doing right or wrong, then you're not living at the level of the Spirit. If I have to check whether or not it's okay to take that, I don't know, bicycle that is out in front of the neighbor's yard that may or may not belong to him, but it's been there a long time. If I have to check in the Bible to see if that's stealing, dude, I've missed it. I'm not at that level. I'm at the level that if I want a bike, I ask my father and he gets me one. He'll have it show up at my doorstep with my name on it. Come on. We have to begin to receive the righteousness that He's already given us. When you do, now listen, that flow of the Holy Spirit that comes from the Messiah, the Anointed One, Jesus, that He's pouring out into His body, which you and I are part of, that flow, it's either going to be, it can be a small pipe, it can be a big pipe. It could be a canal. You think that pipeline that's going to run from Alaska all the way down through Canada and the United States is going to be 2 inches in diameter, 4 inches in diameter. If they're going to lay pipe, they're going to make that puppy big. It's going to be 36 to 48 inches, maybe even 60 inches, so it can get the volume through, so it can service many people. Come on. Now, there's a materiality and a substance to the Holy Ghost. There's a tangibility to the Holy Ghost. There is something that can be felt. Come on. There is something that can be discerned. And sometimes you can even say, there it is. Sometimes you can even see the Holy Ghost when it enters into the volume that the glory of the Lord is there. The Shekinah glory. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but when I've seen the Shekinah glory, it usually starts from the top. It's when the presence of the Lord comes in, and it's like a haze, and it just sparkles, and it comes down. I've seen it about halfway in this sanctuary. I've never seen it come all the way down. But when it does, there's going to be a lot of people laying out on the floor, and that'd be good. And there'll be some of us standing and ministering. The volume of the Holy Ghost. There's a measure of it. The woman with the issue of blood, what does she do? She touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and something tangible came from Jesus' body through that garment into her body, because she felt in herself she wasn't just healed, she was made whole. And Jesus stopped because there was a crowd touching him, an entire being massed upon, and he said, "Who touched me?" And they said, "Everybody's touching you." "Yeah, but this is different. Somebody touched me, and they drew power out from me." Dunamis. Power, virtue, out from me. Jesus felt it leave him. There's a flow that you can feel in the Holy Ghost. There is such a flow coming out of the Apostle Paul as he was preaching and ministering, that they used to take handkerchiefs and aprons and they'd give it to somebody who wasn't there, and they'd get healed, and even demons would come out. There was such a flow coming out of Peter, because he understood he was the righteousness of God, that as he walked along the street, people tried to get as close to him, because if they got within the shadow's distance, the distance of a shadow, then that glory, that anointing, that flow would get into them and they would be healed. Peter didn't receive a different anointing than you received. Paul didn't receive a different spirit than you received. You received the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and took him from the lowest point in hell to the highest place in all of creation, in all of the heavenly realms, and seated him there. That's the Holy Ghost that you got. So the only thing that's affecting the Holy Ghost, Jesus isn't up there saying, "Oh no, squeeze his tube so he doesn't get as much as the other guy." Why and how would he do that? He'd have to have a record of you making mistakes. He'd have to be constantly judging you. He's not, guys, he's not judging you. He's your advocate. He's your counselor. He's your attorney. He's the one pleading your case. And the evidence is his blood. That's in the Holy of Holies. That you're righteous. So there's no restriction on the God side of this thing. The restriction is on your side. And that restriction, come on, is coming because of your failure to receive the fact you've been made righteous. How many of you know what Pastor's Krypton is? You know, Superman has some kryptonite. Well, go ahead. It's cheese. I love me some cheese, man. I like spicy cheese. I like smoky cheese. I like dry cheese. I like wet cheese. I like cheese sandwiches. I like grilled cheese. I like cheese on my potatoes. I like cheese on my broccoli. I like cheese on my steak. I like cheese. I like a rare bit that's just a cheeseburger covered in cheese. I like a rare bit. Cheese is my kryptonite. Now, how many of you know what cheese, if you eat a lot of cheese, what can it do? Huh? It'll bind you up. It'll give you some restriction. And because it's my kryptonite, sometimes I'll take fiber and see if I can get my pipes clean. And if I take the right amount of fiber, I'm telling you, there's no doubt my pipes get clean. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? So everything works right. Sin is your indulgence in cheese. And you get restricted, man. What's getting restricted? The flow of the Holy Ghost. Y'all need a Holy Ghost enema. You need some of that calcium bicarbonate that they give you before you get a colon x-ray. Goes inside and it bubbles up and comes out with great velocity. And then you know your pipes are clean. And here's something about knowing your pipes are clean in the natural that's good. Anybody know what I'm talking about that's above 40? Yeah. Here's the news today, guys. Your pipes are clean. I'm going to tell you it like it is. If you confess your sin, there's nothing between you and God. Your pipes are clean. If you tried to confess your sin in front of God, then your pipes are clean because mercy causes the grace of God to be new every morning. Your pipes are clean. Now you could work on enlarging your tent and causing the volume of the Holy Ghost to flow to you with great measure. Part of that we do when we learn to yield, like this morning. We learn to yield to the Holy Ghost. We needed live music after that. So one of you two is going to have to step up. When that happens, so don't ask for permission. Just get up there and start playing. We needed some live music after that because we could have gone farther. Now in this case, it was restricted. Because we couldn't go, because the Holy Ghost rides on music. We can go farther that way. The Holy Ghost rides and increases on praise, because God inhabits the praises of His people. You know, in adoration and worship in God, there's an increase in the presence of God, inside and out. And see, as you begin to yield, whether it's a shout, a jump, or whether it's a run, whether it's participating in a Holy Ghost hand clap, whatever it is, as you do that, what happens is your pipes get enlarged. That's different than your pipes getting clean. See, if you have sin in your life that you will not let go of, then your pipes will get clogged. And you'll be trying to get something from God, but you can't feel a thing because there isn't much of a flow. And it's not on His end, it's on your end. You're choking the thing up. Come on. All right. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. The righteous shall live by faith. 1 Peter 2, verse 24, says, on the cross, Jesus bore our sins in His body, so you could die to sin and live for righteousness. And by His wounds you have been healed. So you can live unto righteousness. So you can live out of righteousness. My God, why have you forsaken me? And you go into the Psalms and you're, why are you so far from my cries? Why, when I call out to you, don't you answer me? You have put me in a grave with the wicked. That's what Jesus said. That's what He started to quote right there. You look it up in your word. Look it up in the computer. Google it if you have to. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus' pipes weren't just clogged. On the cross, when He became sin with your sin, His pipes got cut. When He was raised from the dead, guys, He was born again. Into a new life. And that's what we enter into. And here's the deal. His pipes can't ever be cut again. He's made it so that if you live in Him, your pipes can't be cut. You'll always be connected to the Father. That's why, listen, if you're struggling with sin, you got to get high. You got to get high. You got to have a buzz. You got to become a workaholic. So you can't hear from the Holy Ghost that lives in you. You try to drown it out with all kinds of things. And you know the only place that you're happy is in the presence of God. As the pipes are getting cleaned and the flow of the Holy Ghost, that fresh water is washing away all the filth and all the garbage and all the stuff that's clogged up your pipes. And then once they're clean, you can start enlarging them by participating with the Holy Ghost, drawing on the Holy Ghost when somebody's preaching, drawing on the Holy Ghost when we're worshiping together corporately in praise. Do you know why it's easier to get your pipes enlarged at that time? Because the flow is greater than you can produce with your own faith. It is our streams of water coming out of us that come together and form a great river. And God has made us so we can tap in one to another in what's called a corporate anointing. That's why we need the body, so that we can enlarge and increase and begin to grow in that flow of the Holy Spirit as we walk together in righteousness, not judging one another, not looking at each other as natural any longer, but understanding we are participating together in increase in our own lives, not just for us because it's enough to quicken our mortal flesh, but enough to cause the dead to become alive in Christ, for them to see Jesus in you, for you to be able to feed the poor, to take care of the widow, to take care of the orphan, and put clothes on the naked, because He's given you everything that you need for life and godliness in this position of righteousness. Praise the Lord. Well, if you want to receive that this morning, stand to your feet and let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I want to praise Him this morning. Praise you, Jesus! Glory to your name, Lord. Glory to your name, Jesus. We praise you this morning. You're worthy to be praised. You're worthy to be praised, Jesus. Glory to your name. Glory to your name, Jesus. We worship you this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for such an awesome message to inspire us and change us and transform us and talk to us about the process by which we increase. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, if you're here this morning and you need to Jesus to remake you, to bring you into that new life so that you can begin to receive that born again experience all over, I want you to raise your hand so I can pray with you. Nobody's looking around. Yes. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus, those who have their hands lifted, we pray for the anointing to increase in their life. For there to be a flush in the system. Father, as our hands are lifted up, cause the Spirit that dwells within us, the Spirit that raised you from the dead, to quicken and make alive, to flush out all of the filth, all of the sediments, all of the gunk that we've allowed into our lives. And even those who didn't lift up their hands right now, receive from Him a flowing and a flushing of the Holy Spirit as the pure water of the Spirit begins to wash you clean and anew. Wash you from guilt. Wash the shame away. Cause it to forever be drained out of our lives. Now, Father, quicken by the Spirit, increase the flow of the anointing. Cause our pipes, cause the corridor to be widened. Cause it to have more girth. Enlarge our tents this morning, Father. Not enlarge it for stuff, enlarge it for you. More of you, Jesus. More of your Spirit and more of your life. Cause there to be such an amazing difference in our life this week that people ask questions about you. Fill us to overflowing. Quicken us. Cause the power that raised your Son from the dead, that lives in us, to be tangible to us, to be sensed by us, to be discerned by us this week, so that we can hear you whisper, go pray with that one, go talk to that one, go help that one. We receive a deposit this morning. We receive a revelation of the increased flow of this righteousness and the harvest of it. And Father, I pray this morning that you just talk plain. Tell them like it is. We thank you that you don't have to sugarcoat it with us. We'll take our medicine. We'll take it. We'll be changed by it. Lift your hands up with me this morning.
Lord, we worship you. We praise you and we love you. Glory to your name. Glory to your name, Jesus. Majesty, wonderful, Lion of the tribe of Judah. I am Rose of Sharon, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, wonderful Master, King over all, Creator of heaven and earth, our Savior, our Baptizer, our righteousness. You're everything, Lord. Everything to us. We acknowledge you in the presence of our brethren this morning. As you're the King over our life, governing us. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen.
We hope that you are blessed by the word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.